Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening again today and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us together by means of radio and study the Word of God together. We're looking in the book of Galatians chapter number 6 and reading verse number 7, 8, and 9. The Word of God said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse number 8 said, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Verse 9 said, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I began a message several days ago from this passage of Scripture on God's law of sowing and reaping, God's law of the harvest. And I spent all of yesterday reviewing what we had studied. In fact, I did not get through. And I'm aware of the fact I'm taking a lot of time on this message and these verses of Scripture, but I'm also aware of the fact that we need these truths. They need to be understood. And many people who've been in church all of their life have never grasped hold of the principle that I'm dealing with here. You see, God likens our giving to sowing, and then God likens our receiving to reaping. And so in God's law of the harvest, it's an unbreakable law. You reap what you sow. You reap after you sow. You reap more than you sow. But you reap more. You reap according to how much you sow. You see, in my life, I was raised on a farm, and all of these years since I've been married, most every year, if not every year of my life, I planted a garden. And in the garden that I plant, sometimes I plant some grains that do not come up. Sometimes I plant some seed that come up, and then the stalk dies or the vine dies. But that never happens in the harvest of God. If you sow it, you will reap it. If you plant it, it will come up. And it will bring forth fruit one day after a while. And so in God's law of the harvest, I'm laying out very repetitious, but I'm laying out again these principles. You reap what you sow. You reap after you sow. You reap more than you sow. And you reap according to how much you sow. And then in verse number 8, we learn there are two fields that we can sow in. And again, may I just simply say, our substance is the seed that we're sowing, and then we're going to sow it either in the field of the flesh or in the field of the spirit, the spiritual. And if we sow it in the field of the flesh, then we will reap corruption. But if we sow it in the field of the spirit, then we will of the spirit reap life everlasting. So there's two fields, there's two fruits, and we will sow our life in one of these. And so we started looking at what this principle of giving to missions will do both for the individual and for the local church. And may I say again, this is God's plan, not mine, and it works. When this was brought to my attention, I became involved in it, and it's amazing how God has revolutionized my life and the church that I was pastoring at that time, and then the many churches that I've had the privilege of preaching this principle in down through the years. For the last several years, I think I started preaching in mission meetings in 1977 or 78. So that's been 25 years ago. And during this 25 years, I preached in hundreds of churches and presented to them God's method of missions as it's taught in the Word of God. You see, again, I can say I appreciate everything that anybody does for the work of missions. But God has a plan. God has a principle. Surely we do not think that God would say to us, go into all the world and preach a gospel to every creature, and not set up a method for us to fulfill that, both in performance and in provision. So God laid down in His Word how we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and God laid down in His Word how we're to provide for those who don't go forth, who do go forth, and reap the and preach the gospel of the grace of our God. It's called the principle of sowing and reaping. And so as we look at this, then I begin to deal with what a mission meeting would do for the local church. God said in the book of Hosea, my people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. And oh, my friend, listen, if any generation in the church age has been ignorant of the principles and the teachings of the Word of God, I'm afraid it's a generation that we live in. I know there are many men of God who know their Bible, and there are many church people who know the Bible and know the Word of God, but the area of missions on a local church basis has been one of the subjects that's not been taught and preached and practiced as it should have been through the years. And so we just started doing what we could. Somebody come up with an idea. It sounded good. And so we practice that. But God does not leave missions to our own ideas and philosophies. He lays down the principle in the Word of God. And so the importance of a mission meeting is that the man of God who's called of God got a burden of missions, an understanding of the Scripture on its teaching on missions, that man come in, preach a few days, teach a few days, and let God instruct the people, inform the people, enlighten the people to the truths that are taught in the Word of God in the manner of giving to missions. And so that's my life. That's what I do. I'm not looking for meetings. I'm staying busy week after week and book several months ahead. But I enjoy what I'm doing. I enjoy seeing the Lord transform lives through the preaching of the Word of God. Just last week, I preached a meeting in a church that had never had a missions conference, a good church, a great church, and they were giving quite a bit of money to missions out of the general fund as best they knew how. They were doing the best that ever been taught. But God allowed me to go in there and preach a meeting Wednesday night through Sunday morning. And I watched God transform those people's lives. People say to me, why hadn't I heard this before? Why hadn't I heard this before? You see, the principles of the Word of God will work. It'll excite the people as well as enlighten them. And so that's my burden, to get you to see the need of teaching and preaching from the Word of God, the Bible principles of missions and a mission program in your local church. I'm not looking to come. I'm not asking to come, but I'm asking that you would consider having this and letting God teach your people and preach to your people His principles in the Word of God. And here's the reason why. And I've got to hurry. I said to you on yesterday that a missions meeting will increase the faith of that local church. The faith of the people will be increased by the expounding of scriptures, by the experiences that are shared, and by the expressions of satisfaction. Let me say to you second that a mission meeting in a church that is Bible-based will not only increase the faith of the people, but it will also improve the fellowship among God's people. You see, missions has a way of doing a twofold work at the same time. A mission program that honors Christ will destroy the selfish spirit. It will also develop a sharing spirit in among the people of God. And as this happens, it not only works in the missions life of the church, but it works also in every aspect of that local church. So a mission meeting is important because it will increase the faith of the church and because it will improve the fellowship of that local church. And then may I say to you, number three, that a mission meeting is important because in that mission meeting, God will ignite a fire in the life of that church. God will do something inside the people that will produce the flames of revival burning again in that local church. I remember several years ago, I was called to come to the state of Ohio and preach a meeting there. I went, and just before I was to go, the pastor called me and said the story that I hear so often, "Preacher, we've had trouble in the church. We've had some problems, and I don't know whether we can make any increase or not. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to come. I want you to encourage our people, and I want you to preach as the Lord leads you to do so. And we'll take whatever we get. If we can sustain what we've got, then that'll be wonderful. And I've got a couple of projects I do hope we can do something for." I went up there on a Wednesday night, began that meeting, and I'm telling you, God just moved in the first service, and revival broke out. People got right with God the first night. The altar was filled. On the second night, again, I preached, and God moved in, and the altar was filled again. Somebody was saved by the marvelous grace of God. That repeated again Friday night. night. And on Friday night, somebody had about all they could stand. They said, I want to give some more to missions, and I want to do this, and I want to give this. And it started going around. When that meeting was over, that church had raised the money for the new projects it desired to begin. It had raised the money to sustain the mission programs that it already was involved in, and then had a $10,000 increase above that. And when I got home, the pastor wrote me a letter and said to me, Brother Ballou, no doubt in my mind, this has been the best revival meeting we've had in the 13-year history of our church. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I'm nothing. I seek no gain. I seek no fame. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. I'm happy. The Lord's good to me. I rejoice in His goodness. But I'm just simply saying to you that the message of missions will ignite the fire in the life of that local church. I remember closing out a missions meeting on a Sunday in a local church, and that Sunday night, five adults saved by the marvelous grace of God. I remember another meeting I was in on a Saturday night, and four people saved by the marvelous grace of God. I remember a meeting I was in up in Virginia, and as I was there preaching on a Sunday morning, I had taught the Sunday school hour on faith promise giving. I had preached in the 11 o'clock service on giving. And here comes a man about 25 years old out of the back of the building, down the aisle, to be saved by the marvelous grace of God. And the last time I talked to that pastor, that young man was on fire for God, serving God there in that local church. So a missions meeting, getting acquainted with missions, learning the Bible principles of sowing and reaping, will increase the faith of the local church. It will increase or improve the fellowship of that local church, and then it will ignite the fires in that local church. And then I want to mention this, and I'll have to deal with it tomorrow, but a missions meeting that is Bible-based and one that will honor Christ will increase the finances of that local church. It will bring in money to that church that that church would never receive otherwise. It's not a manner of just, as the old saying is, borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, borrowing from the treasury of the church to support missions, but it's opening up a new avenue for God to supply the need. You see, when you get a Bible-based missions program, it's not giving by percentage, it's giving by faith. It's a faith commitment to God, and we'll see this as the programs unfold, but it's a faith commitment to God. And when you give by faith, then it's not you giving, it's God giving through you. We're not talking about part of the tithe. We're talking about a mission offering. A mission offering, money given, as the Word of God teaches, from the heart of the giver for the purpose of missions. And I'm getting way ahead of myself. It'll be days before I get to that. But it will build, it will increase the fellowship of that church. It'll improve the fellowship of that church. It will increase the faith of that church. It will improve the fellowship of that church. It will ignite a fire in that church. And then it will increase the finances of that local church. I have so many testimonies in my mind right now. I could stay right here for several minutes, even an hour or more, telling you church after church that I've saw get God's plan of missions initiated in the church and in the heart of the people. And I've watched God prosper that church financially, both at home as well as its mission program, and saw them increase. In fact, I could name a church today that has more missionaries that it supports now than it had members when I introduced them to faith promise giving and the principle of sowing and reaping several years ago. But it's a must. It's something we must do. We must inform our people, let God do a work in their life, and see what God does to the glory of God. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bound privilege that we have of gathering by the radio and studying the Word of God together. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. We're on several radio stations and picking up new ones as the Lord enables us to do so, and I need to hear from you. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. Tell us about the broadcast. And until the next broadcast, God bless you, is my prayer.
One way, it's growing.